Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome back to News and Views. State lawmakers recently voted to make it more difficult for laid-off workers to receive unemployment compensation from the state, and this comes after reducing the amount of weekly benefits and the number of weeks workers can receive unemployment. Mary B. McMillan with the North Carolina AFL-CIO joins us now with the details and to talk about how workers are faring in the state as we celebrate Labor Day 2015. Well, Mary B., thanks for being back with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Well, let's jump in and talk about some of the things before the General Assembly, and then maybe we can talk about some hopeful news. But a lot of talk about unemployment, changing unemployment requirements again for folks who've been laid off through no fault of their own. What do you make of this new push to make things harder for laid-off workers?
You know, they're continuing the trend they started last session when they made the most drastic cuts to unemployment benefits of anywhere in the nation. And if that weren't enough, they just keep adding insult to injury, and this time requiring unemployed workers to make 5 job contacts per week to keep their benefits. And in some rural communities, that's going to be difficult to do. And it's just indicative of this attitude that legislators have that the unemployed are lazy deadbeats, and nothing could be further from the truth. You know, people don't want an unemployment check. They want jobs.
Well, it's interesting. In this case, there were even some sort of conservative Republicans who were saying this is ridiculous, and yet it still passed.
It's mind-boggling. Clearly, they're not listening to their constituents at home. And, you know, all this talk about a Carolina comeback can be nothing further from the truth, because when you look at unemployment, you know, the real numbers don't tell the story, because so many people are dropped out of the system, they're not even counted. And if you look at all those folks, we have over 500,000 people in North Carolina that don't have jobs. And the folks that do have jobs, unfortunately, have jobs that pay low wages, because most of the jobs since the Great Recession pay wages that people can't support their families on.
Yeah, I guess we have an actual unemployment rate, which is now still above 10%. So what happens to these families? They're unemployed. If they are on unemployment, that's a short duration, the checks are smaller. What do you think is actually happening?
I think a lot of them are having to rely on charity or family members to provide assistance to them. It's really unfortunate because they're not even in the public consciousness now, because they aren't included in the unemployment rate. It's like policymakers have forgotten them. And I think in our rural areas, there's a whole lot of these people that are struggling.
It's interesting, in the headlines or the politicians, most of them, I mean, the only time you hear Governor McCrory, for example, talking about unemployment, it's to brag about repaying the debt,
which they pay on the backs of workers.
Right.
And once they paid it down, they still were unwilling to go back and revisit these cuts they made to benefits, yet they still gave employers a tax break.
One of the issues that it looked like, and maybe there still will be some progress, is the whole question of misclassification, of treating workers who are full-time workers as contractors so they don't have benefits and protections. That bill is sort of bogged down now, but what are your hopes about that?
Yeah, we hope this would be the one area that we would get some positive impact on. And, the bills in the House and the Senate have both passed their own bills. Both of them are a great step forward, penalizing employers that do this practice. But I don't know why that it's stalled right now in the Senate. Certainly, we need to stop this practice. It hurts workers. It hurts employers who are playing by the rules. And it hurts taxpayers, because it robs state coffers of over $400 million a year. So, you know, the business community, the chamber was for this bill. Labor was for this bill. This was their one chance to really do something good for workers this session. And I'm hopeful that they'll take it back up.
We talk every year around Labor Day. I want to talk a little bit about the push to raise the minimum wage to $15. Other folks are pushing it at different levels, but at least there's some momentum about that. But first, taking a step back, it's been another year since you were here talking on Labor Day. Have we made progress for workers in North Carolina?
I think workers in North Carolina still are struggling, and largely it's because of policies not enacted by our state lawmakers. There's so many things that our legislators could do. They could raise the minimum wage and index it to inflation. They could expand Medicaid for low-income families. They could reinstate the state earned income tax credit. But they've done none of those things. And when you have so many people still without jobs or working 2 or 3 jobs just trying to make ends meet, it's really difficult. And you would expect that our lawmakers would enact policies to help these folks instead of hurt them.
It's interesting. I think you referred to something in an earlier answer about, we talk about workers, it seems like, in the media and in the legislature as some, you know, the unemployment rate or the number of people who do this or the number of people who do that. Why is it so difficult, do you think, to get the experiences of workers and their families into the policy world? I know, I mean, obviously the AFL-CIO tries and other groups do too, but it seems hard to get their stories and their lives talked about in the legislative halls.
That's because workers can't pay thousands of dollars to have their own lobbyists. And it's, you know, it seems that legislators are more interested in listening to, you know, corporate interests and the lobbyists that they hire than the folks back home.
Let's talk about maybe some hopeful signs. The fight for 15, to raise the minimum wage. I guess some people are finding some inspiration in the candidacy of Bernie Sanders. At least the issues are being talked about. Is that a sign of hope?
I think it is a sign of hope. Even though workers are struggling, I'm hopeful because so many people are saying, you know, enough is enough. It's time that workers get their fair share. And the fight for 15, both within our state and nationally, is growing. And as a result, you see, you know, over 29 states now that have raised their minimum wage. You know, Walmart, TJ Maxx raising wages. Here in Greensboro, we got an increase for city workers. So I think that people understand that if we come together, that we can change the policies and our politicians, and we can make a difference.
And why is the minimum wage so important as an organizing tool and an effect on people's lives?
I mean, it sets the floor. And, you know, it creates a raise certainly for those who are working minimum wage jobs, but it has, a ripple effect so that it raises wages for a lot of other workers as well. And I think that, you know, it says something about us as a society that, you know, we value work and that all workers should be able to work and provide for their families. So we need to set a floor that allows workers to do that.
It's interesting that all the polls show there's overwhelming support, and when minimum wage initiatives have been on the ballot, they have always succeeded, and yet it still seems like a struggle in North Carolina and other states to get this done.
I think it goes back to the fact that you have lawmakers who are listening to corporate special interests rather than the majority of their constituents, because, you know, poll after poll does show the vast majority of Americans and North Carolinians support raising the minimum wage.
So what can people listening do who are frustrated and who've shared the same ideas?
I think realize that our economy doesn't have to be this way. It is this way because of choices by our lawmakers, and that we have choices too, and that we should take action. We should make our choices clear at the ballot box next year by voting for candidates who will support working families and growing the middle class by raising wages and creating policies that'll help workers.
And finally, before I let you go, I wanted to just raise one argument that I know you hear a million times, and I do too, about if we raise the minimum wage, it'll actually cost people jobs. What do you say when you hear that?
You know, it's crazy that when you talk about raising workers' wages, people make that argument, but they never make that about rising CEO pay. You know, it's research has shown that there's no significant job loss because of the minimum wage. And again, workers are consumers. When they earn a decent wage, when they're fully employed, they have money to spend at businesses. So what's good for workers is good for business.
Well, let's hope that they finally come to their senses. Thanks for all you're doing for workers, and thanks for being with us.
Thanks, Chris.
That's it for another edition of News and Views. Look for us on the web at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Hinkle, this is Chris Fitzsimon. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon, Director of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com. News and Views, a weekly look at state and policy issues, is a production of the North Carolina Justice Center.